is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game online at thegamenashville.com. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis from News 2 in 15 minutes here on the show. GM.
Yes, sir.
We have a huge day of Titans coverage tomorrow. Of course, Nashville's best sports talk is bringing you the best Titans coverage this Saturday all day, and it will start at 11 as Buck Rising, Chase McCabe, and Ryan Porth will be on for NFL Playoffs Live 11 to 5, presented by Park and Fly Nashville. Then yours truly, that being the most handsome broadcaster, me, you, the GM, and former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, who honestly is probably better looking than both of us. Chris Sanders will be live out at Drake's in Cool Springs for NFL Football Sunday, playoff edition. Yes, it's on a Saturday. Live from 5 to 7. And, of course, following the game, Chris and I will have post-game live at 12:30. So get excited. Or until 12:30 a.m., we'll have post-game live. As soon as the game's over, post-game live, your calls, your reaction, right here. Nashville's best sports talk has the best Titans coverage, ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, have you noticed other people want to be just like Nashville's best sports talk, apparently? And as they always say,
what
you
happened?
Know, well, you just imitation is the best form of flattery. There you go. Jared and the GM. Okay, look, we know the Titans' chances of winning aren't great. We get it. We understand. We know ESPN says 88%. But when you consider where this franchise was, the idea that they're going to be playing the Patriots tomorrow and have a chance to win, at least on some level, has to ring at your heart and say, oh my God, I can't believe that it's at this point. And yesterday, Titans coach Mike Mularkey was asked the question about what a win like tomorrow would mean for this franchise. Here's what Mike said.
Based on from where we've come in 2 years, I'd say it's be very gratifying, no question about it. But you know, there's been a lot of hard work by a lot of people from the top down to get us back into this position that we're in, and I mean, just gratifying and I think very satisfying for sure.
What would it mean to you, Floyd Reese, if the Titans win? What would it mean for the franchise in your mind if the Titans win tomorrow at New England?
Oh, it'd be gigantic. It's huge. I mean, it would put them in the national spotlight. I mean, everything that happens, it's just like I was talking before the show, just watching the TVs here in the studio. I mean, the Titans have gotten more national coverage this week than they have in probably 4 years. So, I mean, you're on TV more, you're talked about more, you're considered a player, if you will, in the Super Bowl run, which is all great. Now, here's the other side of it.
Oh, I wanted to get to what it would mean for me.
Oh, okay.
But we want to hear the other side of it, so go ahead.
The other side of it is, I mean, next year, if you don't get to the Super Bowl, everybody's going to want to fire Mularkey. So, I mean, he can't win. I mean, and that's why I think, you know, if you jump out and do something that's extra special, I mean, people expect you to back it up, expect you to take that additional step. And sometimes you're really, really fortunate to be where you are. So you have to keep that in mind.
I mean, how many teams get to the Super Bowl that really had no business of being there, but they got there because they got hot at the end or ran into the right matchup or whatever, and they get to the Super Bowl, and then the next year they're a dud, and it's like, whoa, 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 what happened? I think there's some truth there. For me, I don't have time to think big picture about what a win against the Patriots means for the organization, because a win against the Patriots means to me, you might win the Super Bowl. Like, I'm sorry. To me, you can't talk Titans Super Bowl right now. You just can't talk about it. But if you beat the Patriots, you can talk Super Bowl. You might win the Super Bowl. Now, do I think the Titans are going to beat the Patriots? Well, we have six-pack picks coming up at the end of the show. We'll make it then. But what can't you do? If you can go into Foxborough as a 13.5-point dog and beat the Patriots, what can't you do? So I know, like, we talk about what it means for the organization to have the publicity and the fact that this is a franchise that traditionally nobody talks about, and they haven't been on Sunday Night Football since 2009, and how big of a deal all that is, and it is a big deal, and it will be addressed, and that's great. But if you beat the Patriots, all I'm thinking about is now, you've got the potential to go to the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Because I think Jacksonville's beating Pittsburgh. So if Jacksonville beats Pittsburgh and you beat the Patriots, that means you have a rematch with Jacksonville in Jacksonville for a trip to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying you should go to the Super Bowl even if you win this game. But I'm just, I mean, if that's the question, what would a win mean for this franchise? It would mean you have a shot at the Super Bowl. When's the last time you could honestly say that the Tennessee Titans had a shot for the Super Bowl? Like the last time you felt comfortable saying, you know what? That team's got a legit chance for the Super Bowl. 2004? I mean, with Steve McNair and Eddie George and that group that went 12-4 and lost to New England in the divisional round of the playoffs. It's
been a while.
I mean, when's the last time you literally could think about the Super Bowl? That's the way I look at it. You win at New England. Now you at least can think Super Bowl. Doesn't mean you're going to go. Doesn't mean even if you do go, you're going to win. Although, God, that would be heartbreaking. If you're a Titans fan, you beat the Patriots, then you beat the Steelers or Jags, and you're in the Super Bowl, and you lose to Philadelphia. Like, woof. Like, that would be awful. So, I mean, I can answer, like, a big picture about, you know, if they win this game, it will prove to the world that they arrive, and it will mean that Marcus is a legitimate franchise quarterback. And I can say all of those things. But the truth is, for me, the only thing I'm going to be thinking about if they win this game is, then the question has to be, now what? I mean, the Patriots are the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so they're the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. You go on the road and beat them? Like, now what? Like, what can't you do? Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, after the Music City Miracle, people said to me, well, we know this team's going to win now because they came back in the Music City Miracle, and if they could do that, what can't they do? And I feel the same way about this team if you can go to Foxborough. Now, I just am not convinced that, I mean, you know, the if here in the story is a very big if. But I believe that if they beat the Patriots, they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And everything else, nothing else matters to me if you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender until your run's over. Like, you know, like when people call in to talk about the draft or something or something crazy, and it's like, I don't want to talk about the draft right now. Why would we be talking about the draft? There's a Kansas City game that was played. There's a New England game to play. Now, if they go to Foxborough and they get their brains beat in, this time next week, maybe we'll talk about the draft. I don't know. But I'm not talking about the draft today. And if you beat the Patriots, then you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And if you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender, I mean, the window's only open so long. You know, the hay is only there for you to make for X amount of time. So to me, that's what a win in this game would mean. It would mean that you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender and that we can legitimately talk about the Titans and the Super Bowl and winning the first franchise championship ever. We can legitimately have those conversations if they win this game on Sunday.
Is this team a Super Bowl caliber team?
The Titans?
Yes.
I mean, in my heart? No.
In your brain?
No.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that they're not a Super Bowl contender if they win this game. Like, you got a big chuckle, but, I mean, honestly, if you beat the Patriots, doesn't that kind of make you a Super Bowl contender?
In my opinion, I mean, if you're a Super Bowl contender, people will know it. I mean, you don't have to tell people that Pittsburgh's a Super Bowl contender. You don't have to tell people Jacksonville's a Super Bowl contender.
See, I don't think Jacksonville's a Super Bowl contender.
Or you don't have to tell people that New England's a Super Bowl contender.
You think Jacksonville's has a legitimate shot to win the Super Bowl?
To get to the Super Bowl. I'm talking about getting to the Super Bowl.
I don't think Jacksonville's getting to the Super Bowl.
Well, they've got a chance to be to the Super Bowl. I can tell you that right now.
They can't throw.
So what? We just read where Brady won his Super Bowl with 145 yards.
Yeah, they have Doug Marrone. They don't have Bill Belichick. Well,
it's all going to come down to defense and not making a mistake. If you can run the ball and you can play defense as well as they're doing it, you can go to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think if you go through the league and you say, is Atlanta have a chance to get to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they do. You know, and you can name two or three teams, but I'm not sure, you know, would you say the Titans have a chance to get the Super Bowl? Say, yeah, probably not. They still got a little bit more work to do.
Well, every year when the playoffs start, there's, you know, generally speaking, most teams that are in the playoffs, you think, have a legitimate shot to go to the playoffs. And then there's about four teams every year who, when the playoffs start, like, they're in the playoffs, but they don't really have a shot. Like, Buffalo was never going to go to the Super Bowl. And, like, I look at Philly. Like, Philly, in my mind, Philly's not going to the Super Bowl because their quarterback got hurt. And so I take out Philly. I take out Buffalo. I take out Carolina because I never thought Carolina was going to go to the Super Bowl. And I take out the Titans.
There you go.
Those are the four teams that at the start of the playoffs I take out. I still think Philly's not going to go. Like, I think Philly probably gets beat this weekend. They're the first team to ever be the number one seed and be a dog in the first game. And they're a 3-point dog to Atlanta at home.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I mean, it makes sense, though. You lose your star quarterback, and that's – so I get all of that. But I'll just say this. If you win, we can talk Super Bowl with the Titans. You can legitimately talk about the 2017 Titans, who up until 3 days ago, everyone wanted to fire the coach. You can legitimately talk about that team as a team with a chance to win a championship if they win this game. We'll take your calls in at 615-737-1025. That's the phone number, 615-737-1025. Plus, we'll have Corey Curtis from News 2, who's in Foxborough. We'll chat with him. And all of that coming up on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are loaded with Titans and Patriots talk. We are not talking about anything else today. I don't know why in the world you would talk about anything else, but we are not going to. So that's here on Jared and the GM. Hey, a reminder, it's Fireball Hot Take Friday, and nobody loves ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey like me. It is so great, and it goes down so smooth. Ignite your weekend and ignite the night, and please do it responsibly. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. I heard, I don't know from experience, well, maybe I do, but I heard that the celebrations this weekend, or last weekend after the big win, Fireball, baby. And I wonder what it would be like with Fireball this weekend if they pull off a big win. That is Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Night to night, please do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. Jared the GM at ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So I woke up this morning and I flipped on the news because I know how bad the weather is out there. Everybody stay safe. And I wanted to see how the roads were going to be. So I flipped on our friends over at News 2. I'm watching News 2. Neil Orne does a fantastic job in the morning. And I flip over, I'm watching Neil Orne. And Floyd Reese, you're not going to believe what they talked about on the news, like they were legitimately concerned about on the news today.
I watch them every morning.
Well, you know what they were talking about?
Which time? What segment?
About 7:50.
Oh, I was already done. No, I don't know.
They were looking at all the canceled flights out of Nashville, were hoping and praying that Corey Curtis was going to make it to Foxborough for their coverage on News 2.
They said he was at the airport stumbling around.
That's what they said. I saw that. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us. Corey, did you make it out of Nashville?
I made it all the way to Providence, and boy, are my arms tired.
There you go. Now, we also want to thank News 2 for featuring us on the 10 o'clock news the other night. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
They really got my good side. I'm not sure if they got Floyd's good side or not, but definitely got my good side. And that's the most important thing that counts. So we were talking about, you know, Mike Mularkey was asked the question about what it would mean for the franchise if the Titans win tomorrow night at Foxborough. I want to start with this. I said if they win tomorrow, I can't think big picture. I've got to think small picture. And the small picture, the immediate picture for me is you are a legitimate Super Bowl contender to win the Super Bowl, to win the championship, if you can beat the Patriots tomorrow night. Do you think it's fair to say that is maybe something the Titans are playing for in this game?
Well, they always say to be the man, you got to beat the man, right? The great Ric Flair line.
There you go.
If you can beat the Patriots, yeah. I mean, you would have to consider yourself that. And I know there's people who think it's a million miles away, and it would certainly be earlier than everyone expects. And let's face it, the Titans are a 13-point underdog in this game for a reason. However, you know, as I've said, you know, when Marcus Mariota is healthy, this is a different football team. His last two 100% healthy games saw them hang 37 on Jacksonville and, what was it, 34 on Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's healthy, he makes a difference. Is he healthy enough to make that big of a difference this week? We have to wait and see. But, yeah, I mean, listen, winning two in a row, well, three in a row, would be really hard to do. But if you can win here, you can win anywhere.
Corey, how good do you think the Patriots are? I mean, we know Brady, we know Gronk, we know that the offense is probably going to be able to put up some points. But I look at that Patriots defense, and I see names like Alandon Roberts and Kyle Van Noy, and they're not the Rob Ninkoviches and the Vince Wilforks and the Dante Hightowers and the guys they've had in the past. How good do you think the Patriots are?
Well, I think those two guys in the corners are pretty good, Butler and Gilmore.
Although Gilmore has really struggled this year by his standards.
Yeah, but I mean, he still has – I mean, he may not have had his typical year, and maybe it's just not the best fit for him. I don't know, but his history is he's a good football player. But you're right. I mean, you know, Hightower's out. And the guys I'm looking at are the ones on the defensive ends. So it's Hill and Flowers, because those are guys that if Mariota is healthy – he's going to put the pressure on them in the read option game, because those are the guys he is going to be reading when he goes left or he goes right, and they're going to determine whether he has a big day running the football or not. And Hill, who's their right defensive end, is going to be lined up across from Taylor Lewan. Did you even hear Tamba Ali's name mentioned last week?
Tamba Ali's, you know, also struggled as well, but you're right. I mean, Lewan's been a down.
He's going to the Pro Bowl for a reason. Okay, so that's a big-time matchup for the Titans to take advantage of. I mean, Eric Hill is a first-year player in the National Football League out of South Florida. So, you know, he's not a big-time player. Now, Trey Flowers on the other side has, I think, 6.5 sacks and 60 tackles. But, you know, those guys are going to have a lot of pressure on them. And so are some of the guys on the second level. And it's up to Mariota and Henry and Delanie Walker and those guys to follow through on that. So there are not the names over there that we grew accustomed to, but I'll also tell you this. That defense struggled mightily to start the season. They got some stuff figured out during the year. They've got a lot of low scores during the year. They may be 31st in yards allowed, but they're only giving up 18.5 points a game. So whether the names are Teddy Bruschi or Eric Hill, they're still finding a way to keep people out of the end zone.
Corey, I think when we going into this game, everybody's got a pretty good idea of how we think things are going to happen. You know, the Titans are going to have to run the ball, and you know we're going to have to cover Gronk, and we're going on and on. What part of the game in your mind that is maybe not receiving as much attention could very well make the difference?
You know, yeah, I mean, obviously we're all talking about running the ball. I go back to the Patriot running backs, because to me this Patriot offense is much more centered around the run than people think because of all the headlines Brady and Gronk and Brandon Cooks get. This team that averages 115 yards receiving a game and has completed, I believe it's 120 balls to the running backs this season. That's like 8 a game, okay? So they use their running backs really effectively. They use 3 different ones generally, Deion Lewis being the main guy right now, but Rex Burkhead also another really good receiver. So if the Titans can handle – because I kind of think if the Titans play to their strength, and I could be dead wrong on this, I think they need to play to their strength and do what you do best. Take that Patriot run game out and take those backs out in the passing game. And you know you're going to give up stuff in the other part of the passing game. Whether you play a perfect game or not, Brady's going to beat you at times, but don't let the other guys beat you. And those other guys in the run game and in the running back receiving game are very effective. And I think if the Titans can take that out, I think that gives them a chance. And the other one, and I don't know what you're getting at here or not, Floyd, is I feel like on special teams outside of the fumble last week, for about 3 or 4 weeks, the Titans have been really good and have a chance to maybe do something.
What about, in your mind, how, and you may have been at practice and seen this, and I know you can't talk about it, but how effective are we going to be versus Gronk?
You know, they didn't stop Kelce until he got hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they're much better against the tight end this year than they have been in years past, but unless they're prepared to double-team him, I don't understand how Jayon Brown or Kevin Byard can physically match up with a guy who's 6'6", 265 pounds. Yeah. I don't know how they do it. I don't know that Eric Walden could run with him. I mean, Avery Williamson has struggled in pass coverage for years. It's a really bad matchup. There's no question about it. I don't know if you can double him or not, but I kind of think if you want to take him out, that they may not have another choice. We talked to Jayon Brown. He's extremely confident. He says he fears no one, but this is one of the best tight ends to ever play, and he's got way better athleticism and balance and playmaking ability than he looks a lot of the times. I always feel like he moves kind of robotically, but then he just makes these amazing plays. And so, I mean, you kind of got to go over and under, don't you?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you got to jam him at the front and put somebody
but
that can run in the back.
He destroys everything in his pass at the line.
Yeah, that's
and,
why.
And that's why I say, like, Jayon Brown's like 5'11".
Oh, yeah. I think he'll struggle, too.
Corey Curtis.
He'll get run over.
Yeah.
Corey Curtis, News 2 is our guest right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Your Fireball hot take of the weekend live from Foxborough. What is it?
You know what? For a week now, I have been hearing people so desperate to discredit this coaching staff that they don't even want to give them the credit when the team plays well. So when Marcus Mariota leads the Titans to 3 second-half touchdowns to win in Kansas City, they give all of the credit to Marcus Mariota, who is now apparently calling all of the plays. Apparently, Terry Robiskie sat up in the press box and ate popcorn and drank soda while Marcus led the Titans up and down the field on last Saturday. That's the message I'm getting from everybody. And I'm just here to tell everybody that's not true. Whether they're going no huddle or not, plays are being sent in from the booth and then being disseminated at the line of scrimmage. Yes, he does audible out of them, and those are some very important plays. But guess what? On the sideline before each drive, they're going over what they're going to audible into when they see certain defenses. So whether you like it or not, whether you like Robiskie, whether you like Mularkey or not, they've got to deserve some of the credit when they win. You can't just blame them when they lose.
Well, who's doing that, though? But who's saying that?
I am hearing this all over the place. People are writing it to me on Facebook and Twitter. It's nonstop. Mariota called all the plays. And I'm like, this is mind-boggling. This isn't 1968.
No, I agree with you. I just don't, I mean, I don't ever, whatever somebody says on Twitter or a caller says, I don't take that as like, you know, truth.
Well, it's not truth, but people think it is.
That's true, too.
Because they're so desperate to act like this coaching staff just can't do anything right, which is absurd.
Corey Curtis, News 2. Does Mike keep his job with a win? Are we going to wake up tomorrow to reports that if they don't beat the Patriots, Mike's out?
I don't believe so.
Okay, good. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, we appreciate it.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, enjoy the game, guys. Should be fun.
Yep, Corey Curtis from News 2. Check him out. He will be live at Foxborough with all kinds of reports and so on and so forth. I was kidding, by the way, about that. Are we going to wake up tomorrow to reports about Mike's job being up for grabs?
I thought that whole thing was kind of directed maybe in this direction.
I had never said Marcus called the plays.
Oh, sound a little guilty over there.
Because that's so stupid. Who thinks Marcus
guilty.
Actually calls the plays? Brady sounds doesn't even like, know the
who
players on defense
us,
for the
think,
Titans.
Who do you think calls those plays? Hello?
For the Titans?
Yeah.
Which ones?
All those that worked.
It's hard to get a Robiskie.
As I said, I think
I'd
it's
do
probably pointed this way.
Look, the thing about Robiskie, and I've said this I remember saying this last offseason, and I stand by it. Terry Robiskie calls plays like a batter in baseball. You know, if you are successful 2 out of every 10 times, you're not a terrible baseball player. If you're successful 3 out of every 10 times, you're a really good baseball player. That's how Terry Robiskie calls plays. Unfortunately, Terry Robiskie is not playing baseball. So when he's good 3 out of every 10 play calls, and everyone's like, remember that one good one he called? I've got 7 bad ones. That's all I'm saying. 615-737-1025. Back to your phones. Plus, have we not already seen this Titans story before? I'll get to that. It's Jared and the GM. Again, Nashville's best sports talk is bringing you coverage all day long on Saturday, tomorrow, before kickoff. It starts at 11 o'clock with ESPN 102.5 The Game personalities Buck Rising, Chase McCabe, and Ryan Porth for NFL playoffs live until 5, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. Then it'll be me, GM Floyd Reese, and former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, and we'll have it with a special edition of NFL playoff NFL Football Sunday Playoffs Edition from Drake's and Cool Springs from 5 to 7. And then as soon as the game's over, post-game live right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The best Titans coverage right here in Nashville is on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, I mean, we don't listen to what's going on outside. I mean, we just got to focus on each other, focus on how we together can accomplish our goal. And no matter what, we can't control what other people think about us, and we just got to do it what it takes to win.
Marcus Mariota, there is one national analyst that I've seen that has picked the Titans. That was Maurice Jones-Drew, and that was after he was goaded into it by Deion Sanders on NFL Network. And that's the one guy that's picking the Titans here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday is Maurice Jones-Drew. We kind of talked about this yesterday, but don't we remember, I don't know, 10 months ago, 9 months ago, it was the playoffs, there was the one team that had won all the championships with all the star players, and then there was the team that nobody was picking. Not even people on this show were picking.
Not all the people on this show.
Not everybody on this show.
Some people on this show picked.
One person on this show
right team
picked the Predators.
Yes.
The other read all the tea leaves like everybody is right now about the Patriots, and they said there's no way. The Preds really haven't beaten the Chicago Blackhawks in the regular season. They haven't been able to beat them before in the playoffs. The Blackhawks have Taves and Kane and Keith. Remember they had the 100 players for the 100 years of the NHL. And Taves, Kane, and Keith were all members of it. So they had three of the best players in the history of the sport. And the Predators limped into the playoffs as the last team in. And there was no chance. There was no evidence that told you the Predators were going to go out there and win. And everybody told the Predators that. And yet, what happened in that series? I think we all remember what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I had to walk across that stupid bridge with no pants on.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't the Titans do what the Preds did? I mean, this is kind of setting up.
How did the Preds do it?
They played harder than they had played all season.
And?
Pecorine.
And the goalie and
Marcus hockey. Would have to be great.
There you go.
And that's the one thing that I thought about this earlier in the week. The thing about the Chicago series, what made the Chicago series what it was for the Preds was in games 1 and 2, Pecorine was incredible, especially game 1. But remember in game 2, Chicago put a bunch of shots on net because they were going all out. The Preds got a freak goal from Harry Zolnerchuk that made it 2-0, and they never looked back. And we talk about those freak plays that the Titans are going to have if they want to win. And like the Preds got them in the first two games of the Chicago series. But the truth is, I just don't feel like Marcus is where Pecorine is. And Marcus, I don't think, can put the team on his back like Pecorine put the team on his back. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like that. Like, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's going to take... This is the problem that Marcus will run into if all of that were to happen. It's just like we were talking about, if you win this game and if you go on and get to the Super Bowl or get to the championship game, what do you have to do next year? Well, if Marcus goes out this game and throws for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns, everybody's going to expect that every snap next year. Mm-hmm. Every game. He's got to be, yeah, wait a minute, what happened to Marcus? He's really headed downhill. And people don't understand that, no, he's not headed downhill. It was a fluke for him to go out and throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's the fluke. It's not that he's, you know, back to throwing 250 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I think it's just, and I think part of that is this is where teams get in trouble with press and media and all the hype.
I don't care about any of that. Can Marcus have the performance like Pecorine did in the Chicago series? That's what it's going to take.
That's what I said, right?
Right. But I'm not worried about the other games. I'm worried about this game.
Right.
I mean, like, Pekka was not – he didn't have the Chicago performance in the Pittsburgh series. If he had had the Chicago performance in the Pittsburgh series, they would have won the Cup. Right. But can Marcus in this one game have that same type of performance that Pecorine had against Chicago?
I don't. Your guess is as good as mine.
Because I'm going to say no, and I love Marcus. I think Marcus is going to be a great quarterback. I just see the writing on the wall. I see the development that all you who only look at stats don't seem to get. Like, I blame the receivers and the line for why Marcus and the injuries for why Marcus wasn't better statistically, but I think he understands more about football than he did last year. I think he's getting it. I think everything you want to see out of him, you're getting some of that. But can he put the team on his back and win a game the way Pecorine did in the Chicago series? I don't think he's there yet. I mean, that's talking about going into Foxborough and going toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. And I just don't think he can do that yet. And Pekka had in front of him, you know, four number one defensemen. The Titans have receivers that can't run the right route, and then the one guy who does, Decker, can't catch the ball. So I don't know where the help is going to come from for Marcus to have that type of performance. So I think it's doable, but you're right. I mean, do you disagree with anything I just said there about Marcus's ability to go toe-for-toe with Brady in Foxborough?
No, I mean, it's going to be hard. We know that. I mean, I think you're right.
By the way, Floyd's "it's going to be hard" is the way of saying it's probably not going to happen. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Greg has been holding for a while. Thank you for waiting patiently. You're up next. What's up, Greg?
Good afternoon, Coach and Flip Flopper. I usually go after Flip Flopper, but I'm going after you, Coach, this week because you've depressed me.
All right.
And you're probably right, but I want to bring up one thing. January 2nd, 1984, I sat in the Orange Bowl and I watched Miami play Nebraska. Nebraska offensive line outweighed Miami by 68 pounds. Miami didn't have a chance. But you know what? They teed it up. They had a chance. They won. It's not Marcus against Tom Brady. It's the Titans against the Patriots. And I have a feeling. And, Coach, I appreciate your knowledge, but I have a feeling.
So, what does the feeling tell you? Like, how, if the Titans are going to win, how are they going to do it?
Play good D, run the ball, and get a turnover. And let's go. I mean, that's, anything can happen. And, Coach, again, I respect everything you say, and you've depressed me, but I think we have something going. They're playing well for Mike, and, Coach, you may recognize me. I went to high school with Mike back in Fort Lauderdale, but I think we've got something going, so I hope to call you Monday and say I'm right.
God, Thanks for the call.
I hope you do too.
I'll say this: he makes an interesting point, but like, I'll say this: I mean, got to play good defense, got to run the ball, got to get a turnover. Multiply all of that by four. Like you need that to happen times four.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
you're gonna need, like we talk about turnovers, you're gonna need probably three of them in this game. Like, even if you were to say that the Patriots are going to fumble you a touchdown, they did that last year to the Texans in the divisional round, and they beat them 34-16. So even a pick six from Brady or a fumbled touchdown, which you have one defensive score this season, like even if that happens, you're still probably going to need another one. You're going to need another big turnover. You're going to need another big play. And that's just, I mean, you are underdogs for a reason.
Well, I think the timing of all that's going to be really important. And that's why I say, you know, if you can get that interception for a touchdown with 4 minutes to go in the game to go up by, you know, 9 or 10 or 11 or 12, I mean, that's a giant step in the right direction. You get that same turnover in the first quarter, and I think they'll have plenty of time to get that back.
More of your call, 615-737-1025. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday on Jared and the GM. ESPN 102.5 The Game is your flagship station for the reigning Western Conference champion Nashville Predators. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and like us on Facebook to keep up with everything in Smashville on Twitter at 102.5 The Game, Instagram at The Game Nashville, Facebook.com/The Game Nashville. I'm on Instagram at The Jared Stillman. Go follow that, The Jared Stillman, where you can see the GM's fleece and pants combo today. And I need to know if that's okay. what the GM's doing. If you want to know what it is, go follow my Instagram at @TheJarredStillman. Plus, you can check out my Instagram story. I'm on Twitter at Jared Stillman. The blue check mark lets you know it's me as well. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
You talking about laying it on the line. Marcus Mariota, did you see how he played in the second half?
Yep.
He was quarterback, running back, leader, inspirational. It was awesome to watch.
Wow.
Yeah. Good weekend.
Fired up.
Phil Sims on Inside the NFL talking about Marcus Mariota. You think Marcus is getting a lot of respect for how he played at the end of the Kansas City game? Like, in my mind, the way he played at the end of the Kansas City game kind of washes out all the other complaining and moaning and groaning the people of this town did about his season. But then I read all the stuff in Boston, and it's like they don't even pay attention to what he did in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, the hard part for me, we talked about this before, is I don't get excited about some of the things as I would if he was, you know, throwing the ball for 300 yards and a win. But it doesn't make it wrong. Doesn't make it any less more important. Doesn't make it any – it's just for a quarterback, I can, you know – you don't need to draft that guy at number two pick.
I have one stat that really does bother me about the Patriots in this football game. I'll get to that in a second. Let's go back to the calls. On a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. Everybody stay safe on the roads. Mike is up next here on the show. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. Listen, I've got a prediction that the whole media is going to talk about on Monday. I haven't heard anyone talk about this, but so what our defense is going to do is we're going to knock out Tom Brady. We're going to knock him out of the game. We're going to win the game. But the talk on Monday is going to be about how they let Jimmy G go.
It's funny. I've actually thought about this. I think we talked about this yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah. They're going to talk about him, and they won't have a backup quarterback to win that game.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I think we talked about this yesterday on the show.
Maybe.
We either talked about it on the show or we talked about it off the show. But if Brady gets hurt, Brian Hoyer goes in and loses, all they'll talk about all week is, it's Kraft's fault and Brady's fault and Belichick shouldn't have traded Jimmy and I can't believe that they would do that. And 100%, 100% if Brian Hoyer goes into that game and loses. But the other thing, too, is Brian Hoyer has to go in the game and lose. There's no guarantee that even if Brian Hoyer goes into the game for Brady – that they'll lose.
All right. Absolutely.
I mean, you actually think Brian Hoyer is good. So,
yeah. I think Brian's a solid backup.
Yeah, and I think solid. He sucks, but there's still a chance that if he goes into the game that you lose. Here's the stat that's killing me, and I'm sure that he got this from somewhere, but this is where I'm getting it. Ricky Doyle from the New England Sports Network. Ricky's a good guy. Ricky Doyle has 12 reasons that the Titans have no chance against the Patriots, and this is the one that really stuck out. Under Bill Belichick, the Patriots have never lost a playoff game to a team they didn't face in the regular season. The Patriots are a perfect 13-0 in such scenarios. This is notable, especially since the Patriots are 3-6 in the playoffs under Belichick against teams that beat them in the regular season. The Chiefs would have fallen under that category, considering that they beat the Patriots in week one. Belichick 13-0 in playoff games against teams that they haven't faced in the regular season. And I, for some reason, that stat just kills me. Because what it makes me think is it makes me think that Belichick is a better coach at preparing for a team he hasn't faced than the other coaches are at preparing for Belichick. And the other side of that coin is the intimidation factor. I think that there is an intimidation factor with the Patriots. Remember when the Giants beat them in the Super Bowl the first time and they had played the last week of the season and the Giants played all their guys because they didn't want the Patriots to walk to the 16-0.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots were playing all their guys because they were going for the undefeated season. And the Giants lost that game, but it was really competitive and it was really close. And you had a lot of people walk away from that game with the Giants that walked out of that game and said, well, we knew we could play with them after playing them that first time. And then, of course, the Giants play them in the Super Bowl and they beat them. And I'm wondering if that intimidation factor has something to do with it. Let's say Pittsburgh beats Jacksonville and plays the Patriots in the AFC title game, Pittsburgh's not intimidated by the Patriots, especially after how they really screwed up that game earlier in the season by not spiking the ball like they should have. They screwed that game up. And it was a weird touchdown rule is why the Patriots lost. But the Titans? I mean, the Titans can say they're not intimidated, Floyd, but there's got to be at least a little bit of an intimidation factor going into Foxborough. And I think that's why Belichick and his Patriots are 13-0 against teams that they've never played before in the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. That stat doesn't particularly mean a great deal to me.
Why not? 13-0 against teams they've never played in the playoffs.
I don't. I mean, you're the best franchise for the last 12 years. I mean, people that you don't play, you're probably going to beat on a fairly regular basis.
3-6, though, when they play teams that have already beaten them in the regular season.
Yeah. But doesn't that make sense?
That I mean, you would lose to a team that you've already lost to.
Somebody's already beaten you, and they're better than you are, and they come and beat you again. Okay?
I'm just saying the intimidation factor is real in this game, and it scares me because I think the Titans are at least going to be a little intimidated early on. Now, if they get a big fumble or they have a drive, Titans get the ball to start the game. Let's use this scenario.
Okay.
Titans get the ball to start the game. They go an 11-play drive for a touchdown. Derrick Henry runs the ball effectively. Then I think the intimidation factor is worn off a little bit. But, like, when the Ravens play them in the playoffs, the Ravens aren't intimidated by the Patriots. The Ravens are never intimidated by them. Yeah, they never have been.
All that stuff, all that intimidation and all that, after the first snap, when you get smacked, all that's gone.
No, if you're intimidated, you go in there and on the first play they throw a 73-yard completion to Gronk, then all of a sudden you're, you know, wetting yourself right there at Gillette Stadium.
No. When you get hit, that first hit, the butterflies, the fear, the whatever it is, the confidence, the everything that you've got goes back to zero. It starts all over. I mean, it's not, you don't, if you're really, really confident, you going into the third quarter, you know, whatever the score is, you're not going to be any different. I mean, you're not going to say, okay, let's go out there and score because we're really confident. You know, I don't think.
I think confidence in this game plays a huge role.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's what it sounds like.
It's confidence now to begin with. After the game starts, all of that disappears. All the fear, the confidence, the exaggeration, the whatever, all that stuff stirred together, whatever you want to call all of that. I don't know what it is. I think all that dies.
Well, Kevin Byard talked about having playoff jitters when they got out there against Kansas City. I mean,
I agree. Until the first hit.
No, until the first half, and then they score 21, and then the Titans get back to doing what they're supposed to do.
I'll guarantee you, ask him again, he would say he did not have jitters at the end of the first half.
So then why did they score on almost every possession in the first half, and then the Titans started running the plays right in the second half?
Because they had a tight end, and there was creasing them. I've told you that 10
times. Not in the last drive. Kelsey got knocked out in the first play.
2 minutes to go, up and down the field. Up and down the field. Up and down. Kelsey leaves the game.
Up,
win.
Touchdown. No, they scored. They scored the drive after Kelsey got hurt. Up and down the field.
Fine. That's great. But, I mean, Kelsey was the reason that they won that game. And I'm glad it happened. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're looking for a reason as to how did they win, that's how they won. Had Kelsey continued to play, do you think the outcome would have been the same?
Can I say yes?
You can.
I mean, I wouldn't believe it, but I could still say it. Okay, so I think everybody's talked about, you know, like, what's a big key or something like that, whatever. But we all know that one thing that did happen was the big dog ate at Kansas City.
Yes, he did.
How in the world is he going to eat against the Patriots? GM, you got to tell us. That's next. It's Jerry and the GM right here again. Big day of coverage, and it starts at 11 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 11 until 7, Titans-Patriots coverage, including NFL Football Sunday Playoff Edition live from Drake's in Cool Springs tomorrow starting at 5. So that's NFL Football Sunday Playoff Edition on a Saturday from 5 to 7 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we'll be live out at Drake's in Cool Springs. If you're in Cool Springs, come on out as we will be live there for NFL Football Sunday. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.